Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor at Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Dr. Kinlow is continuing his series of messages on the topic of sin with this series titled, The Nature of Sin. The topic of sin in our personal life as Christians may be one of the least taught topics in the church from the scriptures in the pulpit. It's normally mentioned along with salvation and repentance, but not when it addresses our new relationship in Christ and our new relationship to sin because of the work of Christ. This sermon could be just what you need to hear today. Let's listen and learn.
The series we started several weeks ago concerning the nature of sin. The nature of sin. Portions of scripture to read. The first one is Romans 5 and 12, and I'll read that one for you. The other one is Psalm 51 and 5, and I'll read that one also. Respond by going to Romans 3 and 23. So for your part, just go to Romans 3, 23, ready to read that. After I read Romans 5 and 12, Psalm 51 and 5. Romans 5 and 12 says this: Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Then Psalm 51 and 5 says, Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Romans 3, 23, read it, begin.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
That's enough. Brother Sean was ready to read on. Let's say amen at the reading of the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You might be seated. 2 weeks ago, we began a short series of sermons on the nature of sin. And we talked about the fact that sin is such a common practice in our society, and it touches all of our lives daily, no matter whether it is our own sin or the sin we see being practiced by others. It so touches our lives every day that most of us think very little of it. However, we must be reminded that sin is a serious reality which is destroying the lives of many. It is the ultimate reason all are destined to die. It is offensive and repugnant to the holiness of the true and living God. And apart from the atonement which is in Christ Jesus, sin dooms all human beings to an eternity separated from God in the place Jesus called hell, and in which he described as a terrible place of torment which has no end. And so I want to continue this short series on the nature of sin and why sin, or the sin we all have, makes it impossible for any human being to do anything to satisfy the righteousness of God and thus spend their eternity with him apart from the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, the redemption which is received by repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ. Now remember, Romans 5 and 12, that verse talks about imputed sin. So there are three kinds of sin in the Bible. There is the imputed sin of Adam, Romans 5, 12. Therefore, just as through one man, the one man is Adam's sin, entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because of all sin. Number two, Psalm 51 and 1 describes the sin nature of man, the sin nature that we all have. It says, Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. And then Romans 3, 23 describes personal sin, or personal sins. For all have sinned and come of the glory of God. The last time we preached, we covered the subject of imputed sin. Imputed sin, as I've already said, is what is spoken of in Romans 5:12, which dealt with the fact that it was through one man, the man Adam, sin entered the world. And therefore, death spread to all men because of this imputed sin. In other words, Adam's sin was imputed or reckoned or credited or charged to all of us. And the proof that we all have Adam's sin inside of us is we all sin and all of us will eventually die. But remember, no one in this church personally ate from that tree. God told Adam, don't eat from it, for in the day you eat from it, you shall surely die, thou shall surely die. None of us ate from that tree, but we all still die. Why? Because God imputed Adam's sin unto us. He reckoned it to us. He charged it to us. And as we have said, some think that is unfair, but that was one of the most gracious things God could ever do. Amen. Because if he condemns all by the sin of one man, he can now justify all by the righteousness of one man. And this man is Jesus Christ. So the reason God imputed Adam's sin to all of us is in order that he could save all by imputing his righteousness unto those who believe in Christ unto salvation. Imputed sin also means all of us inherited the same penalty Adam received when he sinned. This, of course, is death. This death not only included physical death, but also spiritual death, or to be separated from the life of God. If you remember the moment Adam ate and sinned, one of the first things he did was run and hide from God. And so upon eating that fruit, he was immediately separated from God. And see, that's what death is. Death is a separation of life from the body. And so he was now separated from the life of God. He was spiritually dead. And so all of us also inherited that same penalty of sin, and that is spiritual death. And spiritual death ultimately ends in the place of torment Jesus called hell. And the proof that we inherited the spiritual death Adam received in the garden is we all inherited the physical death. So you know if you inherited the physical death, you also inherited that spiritual death, that alienation from the life of God. The bottom line is all of us are infected with Adam's sin, for it was imputed or reckoned or charged unto us. It is why we all die. It is why all except the redeemed will go to the place of torment after they leave this world. And the only remedy for the sin of Adam, which has been imputed or reckoned unto us, is God's imputed righteousness. So through the imputed sin of Adam, we all die. Through the imputed sin of Adam, we are all separated from God. But through the imputed righteousness of God, that can only be received by faith in Jesus Christ. As the Holy Spirit says in Romans 4:5-8, let me read it in the King James Bible. It says this, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted or reckoned or imputed as righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And so the only thing which can nullify the imputed sin of Adam is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so what a wonderful solution. Adam's sin was imputed to us. And so to rectify that, God imputed his righteousness to us through our faith in Jesus Christ. I want to move on now and look at the sin nature of man. the sin nature of man. Notice Psalm 51 and 5 once again says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity." Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. You know, that word iniquity, it's a very strange word if you do some research on it. It not only means to trespass against God, but it also means to incur the penalty. So when David says he was brought forth in iniquity, what he's saying is I was born trespassing God and also incurring the penalty for trespassing against God. So, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. And David goes on to say, and in sin my mother conceived me. Notice, if you would, that David speaks of sin in the singular sense. He doesn't say in sins, plural, my mother conceived me, but in sin, singular, one sin, my mother conceived me. The word sin appears in the Word of God in both the plural and the singular sense. When sin is in the plural in the Bible, it most often is talking about our personal, individual sins. For example, 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, plural, He, God, is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, plural. And so in this verse, the Holy Spirit through John is talking about personal acts of sin. Sin such as, but not limited to, you know, cursing, drinking, lying, gossiping, stealing, adultery, filing FIDO on your tax return, stealing gloves from work. And all of that stuff, that's what you call personal sins. That's the stuff that we do physically that transgresses the law of God. But in the Bible, when sin is spoken of in the singular sense, as David does in this text, it is referring to the sin nature of man. A sin nature all human beings, inclusive of all of us, possess. Another scriptural example of the word sin in the singular sense, and thus referring to the sin nature that we all have, is 1 John 1:8. And it says this: if we say we have no sin, it's singular, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so the Holy Spirit through John is saying to us, if we say we do not have a sin nature, we are deceiving ourselves. We are lying to ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The sin nature all of us have, it ultimately came from Adam, because we are all the offspring of Adam. So remember, when Adam sinned, a lot happened. He not only imputed his sin to all of his offspring, that's all of us, but also the moment Adam sinned, he took upon himself a sin nature. So we're looking at, for right now, we're looking at two different aspects of sin. He not only imputed his sin to everyone in his DNA, that's all of us, but Adam also took upon himself a sin nature. And so the sin nature all of us have ultimately came from Adam, for we all are the offspring of Adam. But immediately, now I'm going through deep water here, so stick with me. But immediately, it was transferred to each of us from our earthly biological fathers. I didn't say mom and dad. I said it came from dad. Therefore, no matter whether you are a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, you inherited your sin nature through your earthly father. Y'all getting quiet, amen. And I say this because sin did not enter the world until Adam sinned and ate from the tree God forbid. In other words, after Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, if you notice, nothing happened. After Eve ate, we'll read it, nothing happened. And so after Eve ate of the forbidden tree at the temptation of Satan, sin had not entered the world yet. Remember, after Adam ate, then they both realized they were naked. After Eve ate and before Adam ate, neither of them as of yet realized they were naked. I know it's naked. Amen. But I want to be country this morning. Amen. My southern roots, Arkansas coming out. Amen. But after the woman ate, I don't know what y'all laughing at. Amen. Y'all know what naked is. Amen. But after Eve ate, their eyes weren't open yet. They didn't know they were naked. But as soon as Adam ate, the Bible says, then both of their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they tried to cover themselves up with fig leaves, and then they ran and hid from God. And so it wasn't until after Adam ate, the man ate, sin came into the world. Adam then tried to cover up his private parts with a loin covering made of fig leaves. Then he hides from God. I have in my notes, if we have time, we could go back and read the Genesis account, and we would see there was no sense of hiding or covering up nakedness in neither Adam nor Eve until Adam ate from the tree God forbid. Well, let's go read it. Go back to Genesis 3. Verse 1. So the Bible says this, Genesis 3, 1 through 7. Notice, now the serpent was more crafty or subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Look at verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, what did she do? She took from its fruit and did what? And ate. Notice nothing happened. Even after Eve ate, they were still innocent. Let's read on. And she gave also to her husband with her. And what happened? He ate, verse 7. Then what? The eyes of both of them were open. And they knew that they were naked. That sound better? And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings or aprons of figs. See, the reason why nothing happened after Eve ate was because Adam is the one who brought sin into the world. Adam was the one who had the authority to allow sin to come into the world because he was the spiritual head, and God had given him the authority over all the earth to subdue it. So the sin came in the world through the man. Now, I'm going to get deeper today. And the reason why sin came into the world through the man was because God made him the spiritual head. That don't have nothing to do with inferiority or superiority. It's just a role God gave him. God put the man in charge, and God gave Adam control over everything. And God told Adam to subdue the earth. If you notice, Adam named all the animals, not Eve. So God had Adam name all the animals, showing he had control over all their, and then he made Eve after that. And so the man was the spiritual head, and the man is the one who allowed sin to enter the world, and the man is the reason why we all have a sin nature. And what I'm going to say, it's powerful. I'm not going to start a new denomination on it, but we men, we are the spiritual head. We are supposed to be the spiritual leadership in the home and in the church and in the world. And I really believe because of that, we are going to incur a much more stricter judgment when we stand before God, because to whom much is given, much is required. And so if you are a man out there, when you stand before God, I really, really, really believe the standard God is going to hold you to, it's going to be a little stricter than the woman, because God made you the head in charge. Amen.
Amen. Teacher.
And just to show you how the devil works, who's absent from most churches? Men. So if you want the number one reason why the world is in a mess, it's look. We need to look in the mirror, men. It is us. We also know this is true, that sin came in from the man. Because listen at this. Jesus' mother Mary was a sinner. With no immaculate conception and all that stuff. Mary was a sinner with a sin nature. But because Jesus had no earthly father, and he was conceived by the Holy Spirit as he overshadowed Mary, Jesus had no sin nature. Jesus didn't have a sin nature. He didn't have no dirty thoughts. He never wished somebody would fall off a building and break their neck. Jesus did not have a sin nature because he had no earthly father. And that's why he had to be born of a virgin. If Jesus had been born, had not been born of a virgin, but had a human father, he would have been born with a sin nature like all of us. What I'm trying to say is this. All women possess a sin nature. But they are not the one who transfer the sin nature to their children, for the one who transfers it is the man. What I'm saying is all of us inherited a sin nature from both our mothers and our fathers, but it is the man who transfers both to the offspring. If a man was sinless and produced children, they would not have a sin nature. But because all men possess a sin nature, sin is transferred to all. Therefore, when David says, "In sin did my mother conceive me," what he is saying is when his father Jesse had sexual relationships with his mother, and David's mother came to be with child, he transferred his sin and David's mother's sin to David.
Teacher.
Same is true of all of us. Our earthly fathers transfer their sin nature and our mother's sin nature to all of their offspring. And thus all, no matter male or female, are born with the sin nature. And I know some of y'all scratching your head, but I can prove what I'm saying. Amen. Who's mostly in charge around the world? Is it the woman or the man? It's men. And look at the world. It's a mess. And the reason why is because we men are not doing the job God gave us. And so, you know, after hearing that, why a woman want to be like a man? I don't know. Amen. I don't know why you want to act like a guy. Because I'm telling you, man, when we stand before God, we have a lot more to give an account of, because God gave us more. Let me move on, because some of y'all still scratching your head on that one. But it's true. our sin nature, the sin nature we inherited from our parents, which was transferred to us by our fathers, the sin nature which can ultimately be traced to Adam. It is inseparable from our DNA, just as Adam's imputed sin is part of our DNA. This is what makes all of us bent towards sin rather than towards God. That's why it's easier to live like the world than to live for God. We have a sin nature, and it leans us toward not God, but sin. It's Adam hiding from God. Our sin nature, you know, most of us, we bear witness with foolishness much more than we do the things of God. Sometimes I preach from out of the Bible, and y'all, I don't know about all that. And I'm reading to you right out the Bible. Amen. I just showed you right out the Bible that nothing happened until Adam ate, and then everything started happening. Y'all, I don't know about all that. You go home and turn on the TV, hear some foolishness, you'll laugh and fall out there. Because we lean that way because we have a sin nature. When Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, it's talking about what the sin nature has produced in us. It makes all of us fall short of the glory of God. It makes all of us bent towards sin rather than towards God. It is what makes it impossible not to sin to some degree, even though some sin more or less than others. But we all sin. We all got it. We're all infected with this putrid sin nature that is like vomit on the floor. Amen. It's in all of us. The sin nature, the corrupt evil reality in all of us. And the way you know you have it is by being honest about what takes place in your heart, in your imaginations, in your thought life, apart from actually committing a physical act of sin. That's how you know you have a sin nature. What takes place in your heart, in your imaginations, in your thought life, even though you don't do the sin, that's what lets you know that you have an evil sin nature. I'm going to go deeper now. The perfect scriptural example of this is in Genesis 6:5. Let's go there and read it. Oh Lord, agilitize these folks' minds. Amen. Genesis in verse 5. We're really going to go deep here. So if you ain't paying attention, you're going to miss it.
We apologize for having to end the message right here. Join us tomorrow to hear the remainder of this sermon and the others in this series this week. If you would like to support the radio ministry of Word of God Community Church, visit our website at wogcc.org and click the Give button. Help us spread the gospel throughout Ohio and the world.